Hi. Crayon says we can plan our next life now, even before we pass over. Crayon also says it's not decided till we stand at the wind of birth. How can we plan our next life now? Because I like that part a lot better.
You know, that's a linear question. You're asking when and how, and you already gave the answer as to where, but none of those work in a multidimensional state. I love to talk about this because one of the biggest issues we have is that you've heard Crayon talk about we're linear. So you understand because we are linear, we use linear language, and here comes Crayon giving instructions. There is no multidimensional language. So it appears sometimes there's dichotomous information. It isn't. It's all in a multidimensional state. Now, if it's possible now to actually plan your next lifetime or intuit where it is you wish to be or what it is you want to do or the family you want to be with, that's very real. And it's fairly new because we have an elevated consciousness that's occurring. If you hadn't heard this before, she's very well, she listens to a lot of Crayon, and that's how you know this. That's fairly new. And in the past, Crayon has said that we make the choice at the wind of birth what to do and when we come in. Obviously, that's changed. But you can have both, because there is no time. In a multidimensional state, we are told, even by the quantum people, that time actually is not active like we have here. It goes in a circle, and so things happen simultaneously, like in a dream, you know, where you'll have a big, long dream and realize that in REM sleep, it's only in 3 seconds that you had all that. Or how many of you had a situation where you have a long dream, and right up to the point where something happens when the alarm goes off, it's like perfectly timed. And you realize you had that whole dream as the alarm was going off. So this is a multidimensional kind of state. So that's possible because it happens all at the same time. I love the whole idea of us being in such a high state of mind that we can actually think, what are we going to do the next time? What do I want to be and do and all? That sets a template that is honored by spirit because you're speaking to your soul, and that's what's going to happen. It's pretty cool. I like it a lot.
Has Crayon spoken about the point at which we might return without being a physical expression?
Not specifically, but in general, he has said that that is where it's going. Now, that may take more years than you want to count. But then we get into, again, the thing that we discussed yesterday that Crayon has talked about many times. How old do you think intelligent life is in the galaxy? And the answer would be, millions of years. How old are we? At the very, we're only 200,000 years old from the point our DNA was changed from 24 to 3. We are babes in the woods, the new kids on the block. That means that in the galaxy, the potential, metaphysically and also scientifically, would be that life, sentient life like ours, existed and has existed for millions of years. Let's then say they have. If you have a culture which is very, very old, and it starts to go through what we went through, do you see how long it might take them then to start being enhanced by their own consciousness to a point where the consciousness, which is energy, will be the body? Can you go with that? Do you understand what I mean? So the corporeal body would not necessarily be needed. And that is ascension status. Crayon has even gone so far as to say you have seen them and reported them and you think they're angels. They're visitors. But they look like angels to you because they are in a multidimensional state without bodies. They can walk through walls. That is a spiritual attribute. That's not spooky stuff. And if that's the case, Crayon says this is where you are headed to. Now, it may take a million years. And Crayon says, and you'll be here. And then the big one, you as earthlings, as humans on this planet, in an ascended state with free choice, can go and seed another planet. And that is, you'll take your consciousness and what you've learned and seed another planet with their Garden of Eden, where you will be. How do you like that? Now, see, when you ask these questions, I get weird.
Yesterday, Cran, you mentioned that humanity has started over 4 or 5 times, and you said this is a 6th time or a 5th time. But you mentioned that it started in 2012.
Ours did, the 6th time.
The 6th time, but what about the people before? I mean, it's hard for me to comprehend that.
Well, according to what we know what the last one, the first one was, we know what number 5 was, because that's the agreed-on start of civilization about 6,000 years ago. All right, so we don't know what happened with 4, 3, 2, and 1. But Cryan said there was either pandemic or there was whatever it is, terminated most of them. Now, we want to think, well, they obviously had war. I'm not really sure that that was the case. But they started over. Now, this is something that has no legs at the moment. There's no science to it. And yet, I'm going to mention Greg Braden, one of the programs that we were presenting together, he went through this because he believes the same thing, because he found the information in Tibet, in the scrolls. And he has researched some ruins that are very, very old, where there is a discovery. These ruins were human beings living way in the past, 10,000 years in the past. He showed that they had electricity. They actually had diagrams of batteries and things of this, just basic electricity. And also, something happened where they all died together and there was heat involved. We think, well, there had to be a bomb or whatever. It's possible that we had a war, and it's not beyond the idea is probably not nuclear. So these are the kinds of things Cryan speaks about that also Greg has done his research and said. So we don't know how long each one lasted, but Cryan says there were 5. Now, the profundity of that, to me, is that we started 6 at 2012, and we did not terminate. Or did we? And this is what we're saying. We may have terminated an old energy paradigm forever. And this is what the Mayans say. They dropped their calendar. They said it was the end of time in 2012. That's how profound it is. And if you wanted to know on that front, that the Mayans had calendars on the shelf in calendar language, ancient calendars, out to the year 4000. So they were ready. And they are their calendars of consciousness. The last one was 5,125 years. That's how long their calendar was. And when they drop that calendar, a new one is there. I wish somebody would report on the new calendar. All we got was information about the doom and the gloom of the old calendar leaving, you know, and how we were all going to perish. But they now have a new calendar. So to them, it was a termination of energy and the rebirth. So I like that metaphor. So although we didn't die, Cryan says the old energy has. Now, it has obviously not died. In our culture, the potential of it continuing died. And so it's going to take a number of generations before we really see that, what that's going to look like. If we could suspend time and come back in 100 years, I think you're going to see vastly different consciousness and transparency and compassion and rules you never expect we'd have. Over things like politics and how we elect people and what we look for. And I think it's all going to change dramatically because of that. I wish I'm not choosing, but I see your hand.
How important are sunspots, the absence and or the presence of them, and what do they affect or produce on the Earth?
Not a geologist, but I can tell you what Cryan has said about the sunspots, the radiance cycle of the sun. The sun is what is the driver of the climate change. And so the radiance cycle, sunspots, all of that has to do with the cycles of climate change. So it is important. And as I say, if I knew more about that in the scientific way, I'd give you the chapter and verse. But all the things that I have seen that Cryan has channeled about directly, Cryan has said, the sun is the mechanic of climate change, and shows me that this has happened on a regular basis and many times before, and sunspots probably have a great deal to do with it. And, you know, for a while we thought sunspots just happened. And now we're starting to realize they're cyclical as well. So they've been around a long time. So sorry, I don't have more information, but it's very, very well linked to our climate change.
I guess I want to know more about the 24th chromosome.
Yes, ma'am. chromosome pair. Mm-hmm.
And I see. I don't know if my thoughts are like organized correctly, but with respect to other dimensions of the DNA, and in relation to, are we accessing that more now? How can we access it more? Can we use it for a healing? And is that other dimension also the one that has information of our more ethereal bodies, emotional, mental, our consciousness? So if we access that, can we access that in a personal way to heal ourselves? I know it's kind of a full question.
I understand your question. And those who might be listening, and you can sit on so you can stand the whole time. Those who might be listening later, we're recording this, and occasionally, and the last few times, I put it on the web if it's it doesn't get too personal. And for those listening, one of the most woo-woo things that Cryan has reported was that we do have 24 pairs, and I told you in this audience, and it was part of my last presentation, that we got 23. We actually took the 24th, moved it into the second one in a telomere fusion. That's what Greg's book is about. It shows you the diagrams, the whole thing. But there is a 24th because we're base 4. DNA is base 4. There is a 24th that is multidimensional. She is asking a wonderful question, and it has many attributes. Your question has lots of layers to it, because we're just starting to see it. Why? What does it do? What does it mean? Are we supposed to use it, or is it simply there because it needs to be for the balance of who we are? Now, this is where it gets good, because my intuition and what Cryan has said, and I can read between the lines and channels, something you cannot do because you hear the linear, I see stuff as I report, is that this really is a catalyst. This number 24 is going to come alive more as our conscious evolution starts to move dimensionally. You understand that? So we are going to be using number 24 just as those who seeded us did. It may be the chromosome that helps evolve our DNA into what we are becoming, and that is those who have an elevated consciousness that are higher to their soul energy, the connection to the higher self, all of that. So that's one aspect of it. Yes, we think we are using that, and it's going to be there. Number two, can you use it today? And you ask that, what can I do today? And that is the other really cool thing, is that this is not generic information. Every single one of us who sits here has a body that's different, that reacts different. Some of us are more sensitive than others, even to chemistry or electromagnetics or whatever. Some of us catch colds more than others. We're all really, really different and unique. Spiritually also. Would it be interesting if you knew I am your instructor and your channeler, all right? I am the woo-woo guy. I don't sense energy. How about that one? I don't see colors. And there are so many in my audiences who do. So there are layers of gifts that you have that I just, you know, sometimes I was in the shower once and I said, why can't I see colors when my audience can, Cryon? You know, what's wrong with me? Kind of a thing. And that's when I got the full picture, is that we are so different. How many lives have you had? Some will sit here, and you've had, you know, this many. Some will got here in the beginning. So we're so many levels. The answer is yes, depending on who you are, what you're into, and what you are wishing to do, and how you will use it today. I think that the first use of it will be, number one, will be for enlightened self-examination. I think the second use of it will be for healing. That's my aspect of it. Beyond that, there's going to be telepathy. There's going to be family awareness. All manner. That's where it's going to come from. You bet. That's where it's going to come from. That's our Pleiadian layer.
And I want to add to that, Lee, if I may.
Please. And I didn't say Monica has done so much research and heard all the channels and all that I invite her to.
And I guess third component I want to add to that is the connection to the planet, because we've been told that the Pleiadians came, they gave us the 24th multidimensional pair when we got our spiritual DNA, and they created a system of consciousness grids in the Earth that also contained 12 nodes and knolls. So it's actually 24 points, locations on the planet. They operate like a time capsule. We've only been given information post-2012 about them. And over the last few years, those nodes and knolls have been matched up. They've been matched through conscious action energy of humans. They weren't predetermined pairs. And when the last one was matched up and all 12 became known, there was the information from Kryon that those nodes and knolls on the planet communicate to the 24th multidimensional pair of your DNA. So when Lee and Kryon talk about how many belief systems on the planet incorporate the planet in what they believe with God, the answer is very few. But watch for that to change. And I feel this is a mechanism for why that is going to change, because we are now going to be more intimately connected to the planet in a way we never have before. So I just wanted to add that.
Thank you, Mon.
Next question.
So talking about multidimensionality, how can we as humans access that more? Is there something more concrete we can do, like meditate more or eat vegetables? Or
this is such a wonderful question. We are linear. And you can't help it, and I can't help it. And we live in a linear world, and there are some who have heard these information say, well, I've got to stop being a human and get out of society, live in a tree or something, and that's how I'm going to access. So they take it to the limit. We have to live in our society. We have to work. We have to raise our kids. We have to interface. And at the same time we do those linear things, we're asked to become more multidimensional. You are asking the question on how. You know, for me, I really sense it more than anything else. It's not totally a meditative thing. One of the things, and Monica knows, is that when I fly, I often don't entertain myself. I'm not sleeping, but I'm not meditating either. And I find myself in that state of the now, what I call it. Now, I'm a channeler, and I go there a lot, so this is not that difficult for me to flip into this mode. And I know at that moment, I don't even think I'm aging at that moment. So I think it's a state of mind that we have to get into. I think the best thing I could tell you is that Spirit says this over and over, says, you're not in the dark. Spirit knows, your higher self knows, your soul knows what you are attempting to do. And it's probably the best thing you could do. And so you have help. So as soon as we say these words, dear Spirit, I don't know what I'm doing, and I would like to get to another level. I would like to know more. What is it you want to show me? How do I go? Then things start to happen. Things start to occur. And that's the best answer I can have, is that we have help. And that's also not linear. We're told in almost all the belief systems of how many stairs we have to climb, you know, and what we have to do in order to be seen by God, and then whatever, you know, so we're constantly working or suffering in order to get something or receive something. And Kryon has said, this is training. This is not as it is. It's something that the church does against us. It's the best they have. But Kryon keeps saying, that is a lower consciousness children's story. That's the best they have, and now we're graduating. and to a new knowledge. We were born magnificent. We've got help. We're working with a higher self. All of this is starting to occur for us individually. And again, we're so different. You might be ready to do that very thing, and others are not yet. You know, they're still working on some of the basics. That's also why I am so cognizant of my audience. I'm aware that there are those who are at many, many levels, including those who are dragged in here by somebody else, you know? And at the end of the day, they'll go, what is it I just heard? Oh, my God. You know, and it might fester and become something later. Festering, actually a bad word. Yeah. Or it might go there. We've had those who came in and left angry. That this information angered them. And because for several reasons. Number one, it was against what they were told. Number two, because it sounds like we're whack jobs. You know, and then you can go on and on. So they'll leave not just angry, but ready to form a posse and come get us. Because we're hurting the planet because we're just too strange. So we get a lot of reactions to this information. I don't know where that came from. Nobody asked that.
Let's get a little more down to earth here. I wanted to ask about the energy of this 4-year 2020, and, you know, because it seems to be very difficult, how we can, you know, how all of us can get through this with ease and grace.
There he says, I don't know if it goes to the years, but Kryon has actually called this one and a lot of last year is the year of duality.
Okay.
Now, there's been 4 channels on duality, so I'm not going to go into it strongly, but that says it all to me. It is the duality. So duality represents to us, to some of us, it represents challenge. To others, it's a gift. But it does, it is responsible, if you want to say, for the term, the battle of dark and light.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the, let's say we're in the battle of dark and light. What does it mean? First of all, personally to us, there could be a battle if that's what you're working on. If you are beyond that battle for yourself, you're going to have it at a stage that is other than you. In other words, you're working at it at work. You're working at it around you. You're working at it. The whole idea of dark and light happens everywhere. Don't you find it interesting that at this point in time for America, what we're seeing in Congress, whether you're, it doesn't matter what party you're in, what you're seeing is both of them are wasting our money. And they're taking our taxes and battling one another for ideology in order to become first place or second place or whatever it is, instead of passing laws to help us. Anybody see this? Okay, that's a battle. It's not a battle of red and blue. You know, it really isn't. Suddenly, we have consciousness that is turning sour there. That's us. That's America. That's our Congress. And again, you cannot blame it on one person. It just doesn't work that way. And so we have a situation that will grow and do something. Again, Kryon says, you got to learn what doesn't work before you change it. Sometimes Congress, in order to pass laws, something has to break, people have to die and everything else, and then they change it. You've seen this over and over. This is an example. We don't want this as a permanent thing for America. I don't think any American wants this, where they're just at each other all the time. So this has got to change. Now, that is a battle, and you're going to see it's the duality. Where is the compassion there? There are some junior politicians coming up that are very quiet at the moment, just watching. And I can tell you what they're thinking, both men and women. And they're thinking, this is not what I signed up for. And this is not going to continue on my watch. And that is probably going to be political platforms eventually will develop that says we're not here to fight the other party. And I'm going to stand here and say, what I'm going to do for you in Congress is not to fight the other party. I'm going to try my best to negotiate and get back to a center point like it was designed instead of where it is. That's duality. That is an upsurge. You're going to see this in many other places where people are starting to battle people, and they never did before, over certain kinds of ideas and things on the planet. So we're starting to meet this place that Kryon said we would get to. And it's getting there faster than I thought, where dark things that have always existed are going to start to come out into the light. And there's a whole bunch of people who will say, we're doomed. Look at how dark things are. Well, they've always been there, not understanding that there's so much more light today exposing the dark things. It's creating the battles. You see, it's the year of duality. I think it's more than a year, Carolyn. And I think it started last year. And I think that we're looking at perhaps a number of years that we'll look back on and say, wow, whatever happened there has changed things. But that is what's going on.
And to finish with that, because the next question goes to, what can I do? What can I do as a light worker when I see this and it hurts my heart? The most profound statement that Kryon gives us is to say, I see benevolence there. That is the challenge. Can you say that to an area where you're not happy with what's going on, that you can see benevolence there? And it might not change tomorrow, it might not change in a month, might not even change for a year. But if you can keep up that focus of seeing benevolence there, it's going to change.
That was actually channel a statement that Kryon said, and I forget whether we said it all together.
It was in Rila, Bulgaria.
Yeah, as a group.
Yes.
And that was, I see benevolence there. Now that's more than it sounds like. It's actually, do you believe in creating your own reality? Okay, now there's evidence now that this actually works this way. In other words, that consciousness can change chance. Now, that was part of the Princeton University studies. That is awesome. Consciousness being energy can change that bell-shaped curve. And so that could put you in the right place at the right time simply because you're thinking with consciousness and energy in that direction. If that's the case, that means the energy of what you see goes into the field. It gets manifest. If enough people see, I see benevolence there, and believe it. This is basic metaphysics 101. We can change things in the way we think. You know, there's going to be, in my opinion, and Kryon has said this, watch for, maybe in our lifetimes, maybe not, that the young people will be the ones that probably will champion this first. Because it's going to be the most obvious thing to them, not to us, because we have the, what do you want to call it? We have the experience of the old energy. How many times I'm guilty of this, where probably people say, well, I believe this and that is going to happen, and I've been around so long, and I go, you know, yeah, sure. You know, and then it did, and I'm realizing, whoa, something really has changed to allow for this. And one of them is Me Too. You know, I'll tell you, people in general in America, because I'm American, I can say, are less afraid of the establishment. The establishment's not the government. The establishment is men and women of power. They are less afraid of power and money than they ever have been before, which has allowed numbers of people to come forward and say, guess what? This is also happening here. And that is a change, and it's a change of centuries. It's never happened in our country. That is, in my opinion, a little validation of what we're seeing. There's more light coming to allow that.
Based on what you just said, kind of dovetails with my question. About 3.5 years ago or so, you had stated that, or Kryon had stated, that there's less than 0.5% of the planet that actually listen to this and get it. Curious to know, in this short period of time, has it increased? Like to know how much it's increased.
I would say yes, only because the messages of Kryon has said more and more are getting it. awakening to core truth is what he says. In a way, by the way, that I get to see here in this room. So the answer, I'm sure, is more than that, because that was many years ago that that number was given. What that was about was to say that it's the old light a match in a dark room parable that he's given, that less than one half of 1% of the population of the planet, if they light the match, that the rest of the dark room can see better. And then others will light the match. Okay, so that's what that is all about, instead of numbers. But I love the fact that it is increasing, and I know it's increasing. I can't tell you, I do this every week. All right, almost every week. And I do it different places. But what I've discovered, there's more and more people showing up, and they don't know why they're here. So they will have heard a channel or someone talk, and then synchronistically, they will see that I'm coming and my team is here and they will be in the chair. That's brand new. So there is an energy of awakening with free choice. Everyone has free choice. That if somebody is tweaked by something that they hear or an energy that they feel that they relate to, and then at the same time, synchronistically, they see a place to go to learn more about it, they'll be there and in the chair. That is brand new. In the past, we only had people who had read my books. So this is what's going on. And every time that happens, I just smile inside and say, to me, I've been doing this a long time, so I can see the shift and I can see who is attending. By now, I thought that I would be like not doing this, because the books, you know, only go so long, and the people who were coming back 25 years ago were in their 40s, and you know, and there comes a place when I thought, oh, I'll dry up and I'll retire, and instead it's getting bigger. That's the shift. That's what's going on. So it's exciting in many ways. I just want to make sure that I stay current with it, and the presentations are pure.
What does it feel like to channel Kryon?
We've given the Kryon story many times, and yet, with the number of people that are just coming into this, we know we're going to have to give it again in a better way. Now, Monica made a suggestion, I think it was only two or three nights ago, that one of the free programs that we're now doing a lot of video programs, and we're getting a library going. Some of them are going to be rentable, and some of them are free. And she has suggested that I do the Kryon story on a video for free that everybody can see. Now, the reason I'm giving you this is because then you'd know the answer to your question, because it goes right back to the first time I ever sat in the chair. And at that moment, as the engineer, non-believing, the one who made fun of Jan Tober for her metaphysical thoughts, this guy dared Kryon to show up. And so what I said, because there was a puzzle that had to be solved at that moment, I was almost forced into asking the question, are you real? And at the moment that I sat in the chair, something happened. Cause and effect relationship. I didn't get a voice. I didn't get anything else. What I got was every single cell of my body rang with compassion and love. I cried. I sat and cried. That's what it feels like. And it never changes. It just doesn't. You know, there'll be times when it might be more difficult to get the messages in energies that I'm in the world, but boy, that never changes. I am safe when I'm there, and that's also when I feel I don't age. That's that multidimensional place. That is what changed this engineer, because I never had that experience before, and you can't fake that. Your body can't make that happen. And that's when I knew it was real.
It's sort of going back to what you were talking about, you know, people attending. these kinds of groups. I'm 81 years old, and I had a great expectation that the millennials were really going to make a terrific change, you know, in our consciousness. I go to a lot of kind of groups like this, different spiritual groups. Inevitably, what I find is there's very few males, and then there is very few millennials, very few. I talked to one during break time back here, and I was so glad to see him. Why is it that the millennials are not getting into these spiritual groups?
It's almost like they have their own. And that's what's going to happen. You take a look, and you, even though we have younger people here, you take a look at the median age here, and it's older. Millennials and also young people, I believe that they're going to get their own. That's what I've always felt. So in other words, what we have to offer is not necessarily where it's going to go for them. So I really fully expect other movements to start that are more profound than this one, that will go there in a different way. I want to just return to something else, because I love that what you said. You expected the millennium to make a difference. Do you realize that that is in the energy that we were born in, that this was given to us so many times, that that's what would happen? We'd either destroy ourselves or there would be a rapture. In other words, a consciousness shave, change on the planet, and it all revolved around the year 2000. So this is what many of us expected. There was a Time magazine article that came out in 2003, I believe. The front of Time magazine said, where did the rapture and Armageddon go? And it had a picture of the Vatican, because this was the prophecy. And their answer was, they got the time wrong, it's coming. But we did have a shift, and if you look at what was going on then, and what people expected and all, we just got it 12 years later. So it's almost like it was intuitively going to happen as well. So I believe there's a lot of things coming we don't expect, including belief, not systems, but groups that are going to be even purer and honing this, what this is all about, than we are ever going to do. I think that's what's going to happen. Whether you and I see that or not, because we're only a few years from 2012. It's only just begun. It's just barely started. So there are going to be things coming. But what is coming, and what I believe in all of these things, are groups that are going to say, like this one, like I believe, is that we are changing in a positive way. And this is creating a stir with the old energy that doesn't want to change, and that it becomes a battle. And so slowly, hopefully, there'll be more of them and us than the old energy. And that's the match in the lighted room parable that I just gave you, where more and more can see a little better. I just want to go there because it makes more sense every time I think about what Crian said. He said that if you take a look at even history, if you don't have much light, you don't trust your neighbors. If you can't see the other people around you, you make up stuff, or you think there's human nature involved, so you circle your wagons. And that explains all the wars we've had. We just didn't know each other. Suddenly, we're in a place where we're beginning to see each other, talk to each other, know each other. There's more light. So the lighter the metaphor is that the brighter the light gets, the more we can see those around us. So we're not circling the wagons as much, because we see those, and they're just like us. So the more that happens, the more we're, I would say, combined into an earth consciousness instead of a country consciousness. That's going to go someplace else. And that's where I think the answer to your question is, too. Both the millennials and others are going to be have their own group. It's not going to be a system, but it's coming.
Earlier today, you spoke about recreating the Earth's electromagnetic field in the space station. The scientists that follow the Earth's the resonance, the home frequency, so to speak, are picking up a lot of strange anomalies. Does Cryon have any information? Are they human-made, galactic-made? Is it us interacting with her? Is she just kicking back?
I don't know. It's, and no, he hasn't, but I've always felt, and this is a question also for Greg Braden, who's talked about the Schumann resonance frequency and all the things that are changing and all that, is that the Earth really does have a frequency. By the way, that frequency is allied with our heart that's yet to come, and it's starting to shift and change. Now, we know that, and because of what I showed you, that we're going into a different space, part of space, where the magnetics are changed, the grid is changing. I think that the whole solar system is starting to ring differently, and that's going to change the frequency that the Earth is at. So I don't think it's man-made. I think it's Gaia-made. I think it's something that's happening natural. Now, if you ask an indigenous, especially those I was just with, and again, when you talk to the ones who are with core truth of the believe in the cycles, that's one of the things they talk about. Gaia is changing. Because this is a new cycle. And it's not just humans on the Earth, it's the whole system. Yeah. We have one more question. Makes it very
hard. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, a rib was taken from Adam. That rib was full of stem cells and DNA.
Yeah.
And it made a whole new human. And it means absolutely nothing. True or false?
It's all metaphoric.
I was hoping it was true.
I think it is, because the metaphors are about the creative source and what happened there to not just one human, but all humans. And the metaphor there is, I think, that we are the same. And so, for instance, genders, really, we are the same. We have the same souls and all, and we take turns with doing both. And so the metaphor of all of that creation story, including, you know, the Earth was made in 7 days and all, means other things. I'm always impressed with the quatrains of Nostradamus, because they have to be figured out. And if you've read Revelation, it's got to be figured out. Genesis, I think, has got to be figured out as well. It means other things. So I would say true. And that was the last question. And it has to be, because we allowed the 45 minutes. This is fun. And thank you for wonderful questions, all very good questions. And what we have now is we're heading for a 30-minute break, and the only rule is leave me alone. Because those who did not get their questions asked, I know what you're thinking. I'll get him on the break. No, you won't.